and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, brought to you by Brainstorm Brewery. I'm your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week with Ryan.
What up, what up?
And all the way from Texas, we have a wrestling god.
Wrestling demigod. My name's Layfield, if you hadn't guessed.
Dude, is this this is Layfield from the posse on Facebook with the epic JB picture, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, I knew it. I don't know why it took me so long to catch that. Yeah, glad to have you on, man. And thanks for being a member of the posse, bro.
Thank you for having me as a member of the posse.
Yeah.
JBL here, CL here. He does his own podcast. It's called the Direct Damage Podcast. And where can we find that if we wanted to listen to it, bro?
If you wanted to listen to it, it would be at zerofortitude.com. And right now we record on a bi-weekly schedule, so every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Zerofortitude.com. Get that in the show notes.
I'm just kind of there. My co-host is much better at the podcast game than I am.
Okay, well, you know,
hey, I could say the same thing, I guess.
Did you do your homework?
It's gone. Yeah, I did his homework this week. I noticed.
I did my homework this week, apples.
I was listening to that cast today.
Yeah. I mean, what can I say, dude? I'm not going to lie. I'd rather, you know, I think I spent the money in a better investment. And I just don't think I would have, if y'all enjoyed your Born of the Gods pre-release, kudos. But I just didn't see myself having fun, so. It's
well,
whatever.
Yeah,
what's a tongue lashing from Angelo worth?
Well, you know,
I don't know. Wait. A tongue lashing from Angelo worth? I'd have to ask. The lady that question. I don't know.
If he doesn't have a map to like winning with a specific deck, like and you just hand him cards and go, "Here, build something," he goes,
"I'm a deer in headlights. I still suffer from net deckitis. It's a problem I have."
Yeah, and we're not helping it by having him come on here and talk about this every week. Anyway, guys, anybody who's ever been to a GP in the last year knows about this thing called the Super Sunday Series. And what this was a tournament held on Sundays for all the people that washed out on Saturday. And you either played in a sealed tournament or you played in a standard tournament.
This is the premier side event at the end of this.
Clearly the premier side event. I mean, you get 400 people in these things, no problem. Yeah. So what would end up happening is you'd wash out, you'd go join this, and your big win was you got to go to this huge tournament in Washington. They fucking send your ass out there. You got to meet up with a large portion of the Wizards of the Coast crew, and you got to play this huge tournament. So this thing happened last week, and it was a mixed format. Like we're talking limited, we're talking constructed. Draft, all the good old stuff. Good times. So, Owen Turtenwald ends up taking this thing down. The way the bracket broke down was Manuel Mayer versus Owen Turtenwald. Owen Turtenwald wins 2-1. Chihoy Im versus Andrew Rodrup. Rodrup wins at 2-1. Javier Luna versus Makihiro Mihara. Makihiro Mihara wins at 2-0. He has a very interesting deck we're gonna have to go over. Tan Gal versus Klaus Gruber. And Klaus Gruber wins at 2-0. Makihiro Mihara, number 13 in the world, wins. And Owen Turtenwald, number 12 in the world, wins. You notice the two ranked players are the ones in the finals. Just want to point that out.
And they're ranked for a reason.
That's right. And Turtenwald wins at 2-1. So, I mean, his trophy was kind of weird looking. It's more of a plaque than like the cup that you normally get or a big trophy that you'd normally get. But congratulations to all these guys and anybody who won a Super Series last year. Like I joined a couple of them and they're a real pain in the ass. So they did a draft for the top eight, which we can talk about if you want to, but I mean, it's your typical draft. And short of seeing a couple new things in the archetypes. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm an idiot because it was Modern Masters draft. So yeah, it was just Modern Masters draft. So nothing really to talk about. So we do have some standard decks though from these guys. And one specific one that we really do need to like, talk about is Mihara's. I don't know. Did you get a chance to look at this, Ryan?
No. Is this?
Oh, dude, this thing is right up your alley. I'll start going over it here. So he has 4 Godless Shrine, 4 Hallowed Fountain, 2 Mutavault. So we're in 3 colors here. 3 Plains, a Swamp, a 4 Temple of Enlightenment, 4 Temple of Silence, and 3 Watery Graves. Okay, so we're clearly just, you know, 3 color Esper. Here's his creature base. 3 Brimaz, King of whatever that word is.
Oreos.
Yeah, okay.
It's Brimaz, King of Craig Wesco.
Okay. We have three Afara, god of Apollos, one Helioid, god of the sun, two Imposing Sovereign, four Liev Sky Knight, three Obsidat Ghost Council, four Precinct Captain, and four Soldier to Pantheon. Yes, this is Esper tokens.
Sweetness.
Yeah, pretty cool. So his spells were four Detention Spear, two Far and Away, two Spear of Helioid, two Ultimate Price, and a Whip of Erebos. With a sideboard consisting of two Blood Barons, two Dark Betrayals, three Doomblade, three Glare of Heresy, an Ocean Thief, I don't know, a Supreme Verdict, and three Thoughtseize. It's interesting. Like, this is the type of shakeup we wanted to see at the other event and really didn't see much of.
Well, I'm excited to talk about our other event. I think we saw quite a bit new things, and some oldies but goodies made an appearance this weekend. Some really cool cards showed up this weekend. I mean, including and not limited to, of all things, Debtor's Pulpit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but what I was saying, Ryan, was the fact that, like, this is completely different. Like, this is just like, okay, nothing. Little change here, little change here. Oh, we got something new here, but really it's this deck adding these cards. This is just like, completely new. Deal with it. There's no question that this is new.
I love this deck. I love this deck. Just like you said, I love everything this deck is trying to do, everything that it's supposed to do, because it's just like you said, it's completely different than any Esper list we've seen so far. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good use of Grimaz. You know, I thought for him coming into this to truly, truly shine, he would need his own thing, and this is kind of a good step in that direction. I mean, I think he's fine in a lot of other decks, but I didn't see him as, like, the best card, you know, at that spot for every deck that's running white. But this deck seems to really, like, take advantage of it between the Afara. Helioid and Afara seems almost unfair if you have, like, four mana, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm going to play Cleric, and I'm going to draw a card.
I think that's one of the interesting things about this deck is the subtle uses between Afara, Brimaz, and Heliod, like you're saying, because you're playing creatures on your opponent's turns either through blocking or using Heliod's ability. Also, the lack of Hero's Downfall kind of interests me.
Yeah, I'm still really I don't know. Maybe she's better than everyone thinks.
I think she's pure crap, but specifically in a deck like this where, like, every turn you can draw a card off of her because of things like Brimaz and Helioid's ability that just, you know, drop a 2/1 out, you can draw a card every turn. And if that's the type of ability you're going to use, if that's the type of deck you're going to put Afara in, then Afara's fine if you're drawing a card every turn off of her. It's the idea of her, you know, people were looking at her and trying to, like, force feed her into, like, a blue-white control deck, and that's clearly not what she is. And it's like, oh, well, if you look at the blue-white deck that's in the format, like, she's terrible. So, you know, he came up with something different. You gotta give, Mahara some credit for a little bit of innovation worth talking.
The Japanese don't fuck around, man.
No, they do not.
No. He did a great job on that list.
Yes, he absolutely did. They, never mind. I was going to say something bad. So, I mean, that was really the only thing with the Super Series that I really wanted to talk about was mainly just, like, that deck, because everything else is pretty stock, like 0-1 with Mono Black, and we're going to have plenty of time to talk about Mono Black over the next months upon months upon months upon months. So,
this is true. It only got better. I don't know. We saw Black-White in the this week. That was kind of I don't know, kind of surprising. I think Mono Black is where you want to be. I don't think splashing white or green really gives that much value.
I still feel like I like the green just because of the whole idea of abrupt decay. Just to have a little bit of enchantment removal, like, it does so much work in the mirror match. I mean, even if it's just in the sideboard and you're just like, oh, yeah, I have four Overgrown Tombs, but I'm running Mono Black because
I just don't think it really needs it. I don't know. I just don't think it really needs the splash for anything. But Abrupt Decay is undoubtedly, you know, it's a powerful card. It gives you an edge in the mirror match, but that's why, like, in my Mono Black, I still run one Erebos main when no one else does, because I expect to, in my meta at least, I'm gonna run into it once or twice on Friday. I might as well have a little bit, that slight edge in game one by having the Erebos in there, so.
Right. No, I understand that. Yeah, that's, I mean, literally, like, that's the only thing I would really want to do with the Mono Black deck, short of, you know, adding the new cards that made it better, is, you know, I would play, like, four Overgrown Tombs in my main board and just have, like, three Abrupt Decay sitting in the side just for the mirror match.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I'm never bringing it in.
I'll tell you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was done.
Where I see Green Black going is that sweet fucking Green Black Devotion deck that showed up this weekend at, SCG Nashville. Round 10, if anyone wants to see that, the guy was, 8-1 at that point and was, he had like the new, what's the, he had the new Nessian like Dimlock and, just Dimlock. Crazy. A lot, the Dimlock, the new card from Born of the Gods.
Nessian Dimlock.
Yeah, I mean.
That destroys a non-land permanent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he had all kinds of sweet new cards in that list that, I could see that the green black devotion or just green based devotion splashing black being better than trying to run a mono black shell and splash green.
Yeah, I mean, I do think they're two completely different because like the one works a lot better with Gary and the other one doesn't. So anyway, Ryan, you wanted to explain how the, standard, bracket broke down for everyone who's listening.
Let's see here. The standard bracket. Okay. So at the end of Swiss, our one seed was Cody Howard. And, I'm going to put my foot in my mouth because I called this deck unplayable 2 weeks ago. And our one seed at the end of Swiss was Cody Howard on mono blue.
Okay. Keep going. Go through the whole bracket, Ryan.
Eric Gray, our eight seed also, or I'm sorry, our one seed was mono black, Cody Howard, our eight seed Eric Gray on mono blue. At 4 and 5, we had Michael Majors, a really good player, and Chris Yarborough, mono blue versus blue, white, red control there. Our 3 and 6, we had Dylan Harris versus Caleb Bird. Harris on the black, white mid range, Caleb on a green, white aggro list, which we'll talk, I have some viewpoints on. And our 2 and 7 seed, Jesse Butler on the black white versus Kent Ketter on green red monsters. A very, very good green red monsters player. This guy was impressive all weekend. If you're interested in this deck, I definitely can say go back and watch his coverage.
Okay,
we had, mono blue, the deck I called unplayable, takes down our one seed that seems to be the tradition at SCG Opens, 8-1. Mono blue wins 2-0. Very convincing over the mono black deck. Chris Yarborough, blue, white, red control, wins 2-1 over the pro, Michael Majors on mono blue. Caleb Bird loses 2-0 to Dylan Harris's black, white. And, green red aggro, or green red monsters, I'm sorry, wins, 2-0. Let's see.
So we have Kent Ketter versus Eric Gray?
Yes. In the finals, we have Kent Ketter, Eric Gray, and Eric Gray, mono blue, wins 2-0.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of shocking with the mono blue thing because I was kind of in the same camp you was, Ryan, where with the cards that mono black got, I just couldn't see how mono blue could beat it.
Oh yeah, and he played mono black in the quarterfinals and wins 2-0. My jaw hit floor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't.
What
know,
are we missing?
It's that game and Drowning Sorrows and Bio Blights did not have Eric's name on them this weekend. So
right.
Dodge the two cards that I single-handedly think just make mono blue just not playable. I mean, I still think it's a good deck, but with the addition of those cards for mono black, I just don't see it. And yeah, I mean, he took it down convincingly.
Well, he was, Cody Howard was running 4 Bile Blights, but I'm not seeing, he has 3 Drowning Sorrows in the sideboard. I mean.
Yeah. Well, he also, Eric also in the semifinals beat the match he definitely shouldn't have won, which is the blue, white, red control. He won that 2-1 to advance to the finals. Again, totally unexpected. That blue, white, red control, mono blue is really against any control deck. Mono blue is, it's just like any other aggro deck. If mono blue gets, or, you know,
if you get the right hand early, you can force out enough damage to win the game before they can reset.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, mono blue is fast enough. So, and especially even if they do get swept, if they've happened to land a Biden, mono blue does have that ability late game to kind of climb back into things, which is what I think gives it an edge in the control match that a lot of these other aggro decks don't have. But
yeah, that can't be understated. Like that's a big deal to say, okay, I'm just going to, you know, start drawing cards here left and right because I have one little fucking Judge's Familiar out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And especially a gold deck all at once. To do is run you out of cards, stabilize the board, and then have a full grip off of Revelations or whatever it may be. And mono blue is it doesn't falter like that. If it's got the Biden out, it's going to refill its hand also. So
yeah, is there anything in this top 8 that you specifically want to talk about there, sir?
Well, yeah, I mean, some very interesting cards made a comeback. The black-white mid-range list, our third place.
Dylan Harris, okay.
Obzadot made it back into a main board. I mean, he's running two there on top of the four, Blood Barons. I'm sorry, what I really like is this, well, what I find interesting at least, and I kind of wanted to ask your opinion on, is the sixth place, black-white mid-range. I'll just run over this real quick. 14 creatures, four Alms Beast. Okay. Four Blood Baron of Viscopa, three Night Vale Vectors, and only three Pack Rats. He is running two Elspeth Sun's Champions, the usual black white lands with four Mutavolts, spells, Ratchet Bomb, three Underworld Connections, two Bioblight, two Devours, four Heroes, two Ultimates, and four Thoughtseize. His sideboard, three Life Banes, one Bile, three Dark Betrayals, one Doomblade, one Ultimate Price, two Obzadats, three Duress, one Revoke Existence. Obzadat made a big comeback this weekend. He was on coverage all over the place, and the Alms Beast, though, I like Desecration Demon so much better. Am I crazy for that, or?
No, I mean, Desecration goes into the air. The only problem with Desecration is if he's the only thing you have on board, he can be dealt with if you have a few creatures, where the Alms Beast, you know, you can still chump block with it for a few turns to, you know, keep yourself in it, where you, a lot of times if you're playing up against like any type of token deck and all you have is that on the board left, they just, you know, I'm gonna sacrifice this token and swing with these nine things and beat you. So I mean, I don't know, like I like flying better, but that's being on the offense.
Yeah, I mean, and he's not running, this isn't a devotion deck, so he's not running the gray merchants, he's not, you know, the two black pips on Desecration Demon.
I do like the Obzadat coming back with the high count of green red aggro we've been seeing recently. Like, he's clearly better than Blood Baron in those matchups, so you can bank him out for that.
Have a very hard time dealing with him.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the removal, and you can, I mean, that's the one deck, those aggro, like the green based aggro decks are the one thing with Obzadat I actually might even attack with him. Might just be comfortable enough to attack into that deck with him. There's not too much you have to worry about outside of Celestial Flare, but again, those are control decks running that, not aggro. So yeah, I mean, Obzadat, I think that's what, the other week or so, the Asian GP that we went over, the tournament, what was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Obzadat was everywhere, and I think this is just people here like, hey, Obzadat's still good, they're playing it overseas, you know, might as well try to surprise some people. I was surprised this weekend, Brimaz, he is in our top eight, this eighth seed, eighth place green-white aggro list. He's running, this is a weird list. Have you seen this?
I'll go over it real fast. We have 24 creatures. We have a Banisher Priest, 4 Experiment 1, 4 Fleece Main Lions, 1 Smiter. That's Loxodon, by the way. 4 Soldier of the Pantheon, 4 Voice of Resurgence, 4 Boon Seder.
Boon Seder!
Still keeps showing up there, Ryan.
Two
Brimaz, 2 Ajani, 23 lands, nothing of note, 4 Advent, 3 God's Willing, and 4 Selesnya Charm. I think this is a fine 3-drop for this deck.
Yeah, I like Brimaz.
I think he's better than Smiter, short of when you're playing against control decks. And most control decks, honest, truthfully, they don't fucking play counter spells. So
I don't think, even with Thoughtseize, I don't think Smiter's that great right now. A big strength of this deck is, I don't know, is the Flashing and the Boon Seder and the Advent of the Worm. 3 God's Willing. I don't know. That's maybe one too many in my opinion. In weeks past, we've been talking about this list. There's been 4 Banisher Priests always, be it between sideboard or mainboard. He's only running the one. And then his sideboard, did you hit on that?
I have not gotten there yet. 1 Banisher Priest. He has another one there. 2 Mistcutter Hydras.
Only 2. What the?
He wasn't expecting a lot of mono blue, probably. Yeah. He has 1 Skylasher. 3 Unflinching Courage, Druid's Deliverance, 3 Reborn Defenses, 2 Glare of Heresy, and 2 Revokes.
Yeah, this is, Unflinching Courage is a card I'm on the, it kind of bothers me. I don't know, cause this is my pet deck, everyone knows, and I just don't think Unflinching Courage, what's it good against?
It's good against Boros. It's good against,
who's playing Boros? I don't know. I mean,
I see Boros all the time pop up and talk.
Big Boros, yeah, doesn't really care about.
Dude, that life gain and that trample is important.
But there's so much removal. Even in the Boros list, I mean, my Boros list runs fuck. Too
yeah,
busy.
But when you put
leaders, magma jets, lightning strikes. I mean, I just think, with unflinching courage, and the reason I cut it was I was so tired of getting 2-for-1 with it. I mean, it is 3 mana. I'd almost rather leave up the 3 mana for a Rootborn or even just something that replaces that card with another threat.
I don't know. When I'm playing against like Big Red, I would not mind having a monstrous fleece mainline with one of those on it. Just me.
Yeah, yeah, if you can monster the Fleecemane Lion, he's kind of been, you know, he's got a big target on his back when he hits the board, but.
Yeah, I mean, even Advent of the Worm, if you put one on there and, you know, you're going up against some sort of red deck, it just, that extra little bit of life gain, I mean.
I guess I'd almost, there. I'm an advocate for Plummet right now.
So am I.
If you're running green, I think you gotta have Plummet somewhere in your 75, and I just think that gives him a little more play, lets him be a little more reactive, you know, to what his opponents are doing. So, and this deck is, as aggro as it is somewhat reactive. I mean, you're oftentimes tapping out on your opponent's turn to play a threat like Advent of the Worm or to pump your Fleece Mane Lion, whatever it is. So yeah, I don't know. I was surprised this list top eighted. Not, you know, everything else in the top eight is kind of expected. Green Red Monsters was kind of, I don't think that was too much of a shock. Courser of Kruphix, that's a new card that he ran 4 of that did some work. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about that card too, but it seemed pretty impressive on camera. I don't know. It's like that Oracle of Moldiva, but not.
Yeah, Oracle of Moldiva was insane because it had the Explorer attached to it, where it's like, okay, I can play the extra land if I have it on top. This one, I don't know. I mean, he's still just a fine blocker to 2/4, correct?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I thought when this card came out, I'm like, it's a 3/3. And then I see it's a 2/4 and I'm like, that actually might be better.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the only thing that's going to get rid of it is a Mizzium Mortars or like a direct, you know, removal spell. So.
Yeah. And it does. I'm telling you, when, he had Courser and Domri, oh man, do those cards work well together?
Yeah, I could see that. I could clearly see that.
Courser.
You'll know exactly when to use, you know, a specific ability on, Domri Raid. Yeah, that's pretty nasty, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why people were, they kind of were like, oh, this card sucks. I think everyone overlooked that, the interaction it has with Domri.
Yeah, I missed it until I saw it this weekend.
But, also, speaking of new cards, man, what did you think of Grimaz and all the wrong, am I crazy that I think it's in all the wrong places in every control deck sideboard? I mean, is that card, I mean, is it really, I mean, is it a control card? I was really surprised.
I mean,
it came in out of everybody's sideboard.
It does the same thing as Archangel of Thune, essentially. I mean, because you play your first matchup, they take all their, they sideboard out all the removal. So we bring in Archangel of Thune, you bring in Brimaz after they've sideboarded, they've taken out all the removal because they know you're not running a lot of creatures. And now you've got creatures on the board and you know they're probably pretty safe because a lot of their removals come out.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, it did,
He's gonna get there quicker too, because, you know, he's gonna do a little bit more damage with the, +1/+1 cat tokens.
Yeah. I mean, I was when they were like, yeah, it's in all the control show, like sideboards. I was really surprised by that though. I don't know. Yeah. I do really like, Archangel with him in those decks though. I think blue white has a very hard time dealing with it.
Right. Down here in 31st place, there's a list.
Yes.
I have been, teasing at the fact that me and a testing team has been putting together a Bant control list, which this list is very close to. I mean, like, it's stupid close. There's like 8 cards difference between my list and his list. The big difference is I don't run Azorius Charm because I like, Sylvan Carotid as an early game blocker and mana accelerant. So I took out the Azorius Charms basically for that. And then there's a little different,
you know what,
numbers
though?
On the Planeswalkers.
There's a lot of merit to that too. I know that, Joe Bernal is a, and, the Grinder. He's like Christian Calcano.
Okay.
Says it absolutely hates Azorius Charm and says it's unplayable, but he's just a pro player. What does he know? I don't know.
Right. I mean,
I play the card. I think it's fucking awesome, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think specifically for this, cause like you look at it and it's like, if they put out a massive amount of creatures, you have no way of protecting your Kiora or your Jace. Really, if they go early crazy, you know, it's like, oh, Jace has to protect itself with the, neg one ability or neg one, neg zero ability. And if it doesn't, you know, and if I'm using that, I'm never drawing cards off of it. You know what I mean? You want to draw cards off of Jace. Let's face facts. Well, just having that stupid Sylvan Carrotid out, I think lets you, A, ramp a hell of a lot quicker and go like turn three Cure into turn four Elspeth. That's fun.
Yeah. And like that is, it is, it does give you that, it gives you a little bit of game against the more aggressive decks. It really does. Sylvan Carrotid is annoying for any of those fast decks to deal with.
Yeah, I don't know. In my testing, I've had a lot of success with that card. Like, we originally had a lot more creatures in the deck because we was trying to, like, every turn go turn four Elspeth.
Yeah.
Well, his deck, those got taken out.
His deck, to be fair, his deck had, had a lot more creatures in it earlier in the week. It came up as a test deck somewhere online that he was running, and it, originally he had the four Archangels main board. I want to say maybe he had Sylvans. I don't know. I do remember he had, a lot more creatures in the deck, though. It looks like he just decided to go all out Planeswalkers.
Yeah, I think at this point I'm down to, four Sylvan Carrotids and one Aetherling. And those are that's my creature package. And the rest of it, it's like I have, I think we are running three Elspeth, we're running four Kioras and three Jaces. So, I mean, and, you know, our spells are slightly different, but like the four Detention Spheres are a must. The four Sphinx's Revelations a must. The four Supreme Verdicts are a must. Believe it or not, the four Dissolves are a must. And then we, instead of, you know, having two Last Breath in the main board, because right now, I mean, with like green red monsters, that's like a dead card. So like I have an Elixir of
voice. So
right, I have an Elixir of Immortality, and you know, you're extra syncope.
If you hit a pack rat with it, you're very lucky. Or I mean, Night Vale Spectre is a thing, and that is, you know, a big part of the meta. So Last Breath is still relevant there, but otherwise, yeah, it does blank. But I think it's with the prevalence of Night Vale Spectre, it might just be a necessary.
Dude, Kiora can shut down a single Night Born Spectre all game long.
And, boy, did she. Kiora was impressive.
I was trying to tell you, man, this card's better than people think.
And I opened one in my fat pack, so I think that's a sign. Either that or I'll send it to Pittsburgh, whatever.
Yeah, that's the size. Ship it to my B.
Fucking, dude, the ease with, I was like, there's no way this card ultimates this easily.
It does.
With loyalty. I was like, if it came down with three, I might be on the verge of busted. If it ultimated at five, but at two, I was like, ah, man, that's really low loyalty. And man, that card ultimated all over everybody's face this weekend.
When you're not playing against a burn deck, it gets to ultimate a lot more than you realize. Like it was one of those things that I just kept saying in my testing that this card is so much better than everybody thinks. Like,
oh, yeah. Yes,
against the burn deck, it does die. But, God.
Three or four times on camera this weekend, somebody lost to Krakens.
I believe it.
It was amazing. It was the fucking release in the Krakens. It's so fucking funny. And game one, I wasn't that impressed with her, but what they bored out everything and then bored into this real heavy creatures and Brimaz into Kiora was unbeatable every time.
I can see that just gives you too many blockers.
Yeah. And Kiora ultimated every time. Fuck, Brimaz was good in this deck. Yeah. I don't know. I was real impressed with that card. It seemed to come in a bunch. So.
Yeah, I mean, even his mana base is very close to what I had built. So, I mean, this is a very close shell to what we were working on. So anybody who was wondering what I was hinting at, this is basically it. Just a few slight changes here and there. And I do think Carrotid is something that Brian Bronduin needs to look at adding. Because it does give you that explosive draw against some decks where you're just like, turn three Kiora, turn four Elspeth, go fuck yourself. And literally.
Hands is one too many also.
I think I'm actually at 26. So that might be one too many. And I do have two Mutavaults and I've never had a problem mana wise.
Yeah. I'm
not running nine fucking, basics either.
Yeah. I could easily see cutting one land for really a number of things, but. Yeah,
the Elixir, I'm shocked that he doesn't have that in there with running four Sphinx's Revelation, the Jace, and an Azorius, and four Azorius Tarns. Cause like, you know, he could actually deck himself fairly easily.
I can tell you about a deck that ran some weird cards that had an Elixir in it this weekend. The ninth place blue-white control by Mr. Adrian Sullivan. Either love him or hate him. I like the guy's coverage, that's just me. Not the older one, not the one that's all about mono red or whatever, the other Adrian, but.
Yeah, the one who builds the crazy stuff usually.
Elixir, and man, I just wanted to give him a shout out for This crazy, I mean, everyone's on revoke existence. What's he play? Keening Apparition. What the fuck? A tutu, it's a body. You sacrifice it, destroy target enchantment. I don't know, I think the exile's a little bit better on revoke, but,
He even has debtor's pulpits in here. I mean, he has all kinds of crazy shit.
Well, and you know what the debtor's pulpit is? That's your answer to Stormbreath Dragon, because it gives the ability to your land.
Yeah.
So it's not Stormbreath, the pro white doesn't matter there. The Blood Baron, you could tap down their Blood Barons, really anything. Man, yeah, Debtor's Pulpit. I also think it's really good against opposing Aetherlings, but I haven't, you know, seen that at work or anything. But yeah, I think Debtor's Pulpit was funny as hell. And I don't know, like, we members of the posse that are into, you know, if I could see Dave wetting himself over this list, Blind Obedience in the sideboard. I mean, when's the last time we talked about that? a Jace Memory Adept in the sideboard. I mean, just all kinds of spice. I don't know. I had to give him shout out though, some props for that, because Debtor's Pulpit, man, that takes some balls to run that.
Yeah. CL, do you have any thoughts on the standard portion of this tournament?
Yeah, I like a lot of the decks. The deck we're talking about right now, the Adrian Sullivan deck, that's a lot of one-ofs. That's gotta be a bitch to sideboard. like when you sideboard that, you really sideboard that. You go in deep with that one. But yeah, I do like it.
The sideboard is very reminiscent of like a legacy sideboard.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Very much so.
And I also wanted to note on the red-green deck you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Where did he go?
Our second place list.
Green Red Monsters?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very second one. Kent Ketter.
The combo you're talking about with the Courser and the Domirade, yep, working well together. He's also got one Chandra Pyromaster. Her zero ability works great with this card.
Oh, yeah.
That's some spicy tech. I was like, really?
Chandra, I mean, I run two of her in my big Boros list. She is, we had an episode dedicated to how bad we thought she was.
Yeah, it was actually called Chandra the Unplayable.
But, man, she might be criminally underplayed right now. She's really good. I've like been really impressed with her and the small amount of testing I've got to do with her. But yeah, and also going off this, the new Xenagos, he's only running one of. I bet he sleeves up another one after this weekend. That card was awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That ability is bonkers.
Yeah, I got to see Brad Nelson face smashed in by it, so that made me happy.
Oh, Christ.
What, Brad Nelson did come out with a spicy red-white burn deck, crushed Mono Black in round one when they had him on cam. He is running that new Seder Fire Dancer.
Dude, yeah, that thing's, I mean, when I had Frank on that one episode, I had Frank on for one episode and we was talking about that card and yeah, that card is definitely good. So, on Sunday they sleeved up old cards. So the way the bracket broke down is we have Tyler Scott versus Andrew Tengem, and Scott wins at 2-1. Thomas Graves versus Scott Tompkins, and Graves wins at 2-0. Dylan Lyons versus Eric Yu, or Dylan Jones versus Eric Yu, I'm sorry. And Dylan Jones wins at 2-0, and Ben Robinson versus Eric Rill. Eric Rill 2-1. Dylan Jones 2-1 over Eric Rill, and Thomas Graves loses to Taylor Scott 2-1. Taylor Scott wins the whole damn thing. And what was Taylor Scott running? Anything worth talking about? We'll find out in a second. Oh, Rug Delver, go figure. Damn it.
You know how this
goes. Yeah, wait, real quick, props to Eric Rill. He had a great weekend, finished high in the standard portion and the top 8 at Legacy, so.
Yeah, he was running Ant in Legacy, and, you know, it's ad nauseum tendrils. It just is. I mean, I do like the diversity in the top 8. Like, you have Rug Delver, you have Sneak and Show, you have Elves, you have Ant, you have Blue, White, Red Delver, you have Bug Delver, you have Lands, and you have Shardless Bug. I mean, that is 8 different decks. And then you have High Tide and Ninth. Holy fucking balls. I'm sorry.
Boy, we haven't talked about that deck in a long time,
It's been forever since I talked about a High Tide deck. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to talk about a High Tide deck.
That guy had balls for showing up with it.
I mean, High Tide, when it runs well, it is a thing of beauty. So, I mean, his spells are exactly what you would expect out of a High Tide deck. Because it has been so long since I've gone over this, I should probably explain what they are. We have 4 Candelabra of Thanos. We have 2 Sensi's Divining Top, because that card just digs and digs and digs. We have 4 Brainstorm, 3 Cunning Wish. We have 3 Flusterstorm, 4 Force of Will, 4 High Tide, Namesake. One, meditate. Skip your next turn, draw four cards. That's actually a good thing. We have one snap, we have one turnabout, one wipe away, four merchant scroll, four ponder, two preordained, four time spiral. Lands are 12 islands, three flooded strand, three polluted delta. Those are just to fetch out your islands. Sideboard is four defense grid. A blue sun zenith.
Nice. I like that in the side four of.
Oh yeah, defense grid is pretty nice. Yeah, I mean, just slowing them down that much more. One brain freeze, a fluster storm, an intuition, a meditate, another meditate, two pact of negations, a rebuild, return all artifacts to its owner's hands. One surgical extraction, one turnabout, and one wipe away.
I got a question for you.
Okay, I'll give you an answer. No.
Candelabra Tanos, there's how many in this deck?
There is four of them.
And it's $399.99.
Yes.
So it's a $400 card. What is it that this $400 card does that makes it a $400 card?
It untaps X separate lands for X.
So how do you gain advantage with that?
With High Tide. Because okay. High Tide, until the end of turn, all islands produce an additional blue when tapped for mana.
So Candelabra basically says go infinite.
Pretty damn close to it, yeah.
Okay. Snap.
I this is, you know me, I'm a legacy noob, and this is a deck that I haven't seen in a very, very long time, and so the Candelabra is just kind of...
Yeah, you use your merchant scroll basically to, force out, okay. If you don't have a High Tide, you know, typically you can have a merchant scroll, and you use that typically a lot of times to go get your High Tide after you've played your Candelabra. And yeah, pretty much once that happens, it ends the game. I mean, it just goes absolutely infinite and ends everything that anybody wants to do.
Sounds pretty brutal. I'm just gotta be for some serious, like, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, talk about a hard deck to get into.
Yeah, I mean, you use your cunning wish, you go get yourself like a brain freeze, right? And then, you know, because you have infinite mana, with your brain freeze, you can just play multiple spells, storm this thing together, and just mill him out completely. Game over.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fair. It has been a while since I've seen a High Tide deck, make top 16, 32, whatever. I mean, that's pretty different. We did have lands show up again, which, you know, it's a shame. Like, it was such a cool thing to see last week. Like, oh, lands is back. And then you look at it and you go, Thespian Stage, Dark Depths. Oh, okay. Now I get it. And it's like, you know, it's the old lands deck with that extra power to it. And, okay. I'm actually already sick of it. And that's pretty bad because it's been 2 weeks and I like lands. We actually had another one show up in the top 32. It is, 32, blue black Tesseract.
Yeah, that kind of fell off the radar.
Raider.
It took down an open not that long ago. I want to see.
This list is a little different, but not much.
Yeah, I do just want to say props to Taylor Scott for bringing the fair deck and taking down this very unfair top eight. I guess eighth, Andrew Tengem, props to him. He's a testing partner with a buddy of mine, Andrew Tengem with Shardless Bug. That's, I guess, legacy.
Half the top eight was kind of fair. We have Rug, we have Blue, White, Red, we have Bug, and we have Shardless.
Well, I guess I'm just looking at the top four and going, Taylor, my hard time. So, yeah, the Sneak and Show Ant matchup was really fun to watch too, by the way.
Yeah, I can see that. I can absolutely see watching that and enjoying yourself without a question. So down in this, SCG also had a, team sealed event that was going on in Richmond. It was a bitch for me to get any real, coverage on it as far as, you know, who did what, sort of this and that. And I know Kelso was there.
Kelso was there. Yeah, yes. Kelso talked all about it.
Yeah, I got to talk to him a little bit about it. But the big reason I'm bringing this up is because our good buddy Harry Corvese's team with Ben Friedman and Max Brown won the thing. And, you know, I try to keep people up on how Harry's doing because, you know, he's our favorite pro here, right, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Insert applause sound effect here.
Yeah, I'm not that good at editing.
And Corvese, big props, buddy. Way to represent. It was cool. And hell of a team, man, might I say. I mean, yeah, Max Brown, Ben Friedman, no slouches. So that's not three dudes you necessarily want to sit across from. Kelso.
Kelso actually did round one, and he actually played against Harry, and I guess he beat him out. He actually won the game, but they lost the match.
Yeah, and that's what matters.
Isn't it, though? And speaking of Pit Imps, we're going to go ahead and at Pro Tour Board of the Gods, we're going to get behind Corvacy as much as possible. So
yes,
when you are
trending, I want to see this trending.
So do I. When you are talking about the Pro Tour Board of the Gods, put in the hashtag PT Corvacy. That's PTCORVESE. I know that's hard to spell.
It's really that easy. You're already typing in hashtag PTBNG or whatever it may be.
So put this behind it. Like,
might as well put this behind it and fucking represent. That's all I'd say.
Let them know that you got his back on this one, and you know, your help. You want to support him in every way you possibly can, because Harry's a good dude, and you know that. And after the Pro Tour, I'm going to try like hell to have him on here. So we'll have somebody.
Well, yeah, he owes us another visit. I do want to say that this is also a hashtag that may actually get shown on live coverage. I kind of liked mine, but.
That would not have made it on the live coverage.
Been clean here. I think it was hashtag fuck yeah Corvacy. I don't know, but let's not use that. PT, hashtag tweet PT Corvacy, get behind it. And, you know, let's show him our love, man. Guys, we're family here. So he's part of it.
Yep. Guys, okay, so that concludes the tournament section of the show. God, I wish that we could talk about that stuff actually longer, because the rest of this is kind of boring. We have a Board of the Gods event deck that they announced, and like, I don't know, call me crazy, I think they screwed the pooch.
Don't they usually with these?
Okay. They're like, all right, so we're going to give you a mono black deck. I'm like, ooh, okay, cool. They gave me a pack rat. Oh, that's nice. So your rares are like Agent of Fates. Okay. I mean, we've seen that do some work, actually.
That card is bad. All the heroic cards are bad, bro. None of them. There are none. They're not just, they're just not standard playable, man.
Right. I mean, but at least this card. We have seen some work in a specific deck that made the top eight.
At least, what's the new mechanic, inspired whenever you untap?
That's even worse.
That's a shit mechanic too, but at least they gave you Springleaf Drum to kind of actually be able to use that. I don't know, man. Heroic sucks, but yeah, Agent of Fates, woohoo.
Blood Scrivener, which is terrible.
You know what? I actually think Blood Scrivener is better than the new Pain Seer that people are all, oh, this might be a new Bob. Blood Scrivener is just as fucking good and probably won't kill you. Like that card can, if you are untapping a bunch, you can Bob yourself to death. This guy, you just lose one life, and Blood Scrivener is in the deck, plays well in the deck that you'd want to run Pain Seer anyways. In a quick Rakdos deck that you're going to dump your hand quick and then you want to refill. I don't know. I just think this one does it better.
Isn't it a quick Rakdos deck, though? I mean, let's be honest here. We have a Desecration Demon. Okay, so there's one reason to get in. We have that in the pack rat. There's two reasons to maybe buy this. We have a Herald of Torment, which I think this card is going to be absurd over the next 2 years. So.
I just got my playset in the mail. I thought it might be the thing that might be good in the Mono Black Mirror. Is kind of, you know, if you're playing this main deck over Night Vale Spectre, it helps it smooths out those draws that you get that are like Swamp, Mutavolt, Night Vale Spectre, whatever.
Yeah.
This is, you know, it is easier to cast than Night Vale. It is a three, it does beat Night Vale, but that one life and the bestow cost is pretty good for 3/3 and flying. I mean, they're pretty, you know how expensive bestow can get. That's actually like.
Yeah, that's solid.
I mean, yeah, what is it? Like 8 mana for 1/1 and vigilance or something. I don't know.
That's really solid. I think this thing is really going to start shining in October when, Return of Ravnica rotates.
I saw a guy die to his own Herald of Torment this weekend, and that was pretty sad.
Yeah. So it also gives us a Hero's Downfall, a single one. Okay. But then they put Fated Return in here. And like you said, this is supposed to be an aggro deck, right? And
I said Blood Scrivener plays really well in an aggro deck much more than Pain Seer will. Okay. But this, no, I wouldn't say this is an aggro deck.
I mean, if you look at his creatures, if you look at the creatures in it, it could very well be considered one because the curve tops out at 4 with Desecration Demon.
Yeah,
then you look at the
Rack of 4 Cacklers, 4 Shred Freaks. That is a pretty quick, aggressive start.
Yeah, but Fated Return is not that.
No.
I mean, that card, I don't know. No Gary's in here whatsoever.
You should never be able to cast Faded Return with this deck.
No. So let's get to the big question. Would you shell out the $20 that they require to, is it 20 bucks? I don't even fucking remember anymore.
You know what? I can tell you right now if I would. Let me see what a Hero's Downfall is selling for.
This one will probably go for 25. I actually kind of like this deck.
Okay.
As it's built, I don't know if it's
worth the money. I mean, the Hero's Downfall is only on SCG, which you know how it's, you know, they're higher than everyone else anyways, is only $7.99. Desecration Demon's like $6 and Pack Rat's like $4 to $5. Okay. I don't know. Do you even get me back in this? I don't know.
I don't know if you can get it at retail at, you know, the good old $19.99, which I think that is what it normally sells at.
I don't know, they've been 25 since they went to just one, I think.
Oh, have they been? Oh, then fuck it. They're not, yeah, this isn't worth it. I wouldn't pay for it.
I think it's like $24.99, yeah.
I don't know, I got Herald of Torment here. I don't know, I might buy it just because there is a few. Like a dollar. Yeah, but there is a few cards that I can see seeing play for a while, and in the meantime, like, if you really wanted to buy four of these, you can pretty much put together Mono Black.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Zachary Necromancer. I still think Zachary Necromancer hasn't had its time yet. It's running
out of time, though, bro.
It is, but I think it's a good card. You could definitely, and Mogus's Marauder, what was that GP a while back in South America, that was won by
Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah, the Rio one, that the guy that won was running four Mogus Marauders and the four Zathar Necromancers. I mean, there's some stuff you can do with this deck for sure. I mean, it's real easy to take this deck and turn it into either like a really aggressive Rakdos deck or, like you said, just to go with the Mono Black plan.
So how many of these do you think you'd need to buy to put together a cohesive, I'm going to go win a Friday Night Magic? Because you know one never does it.
I mean, just the one and maybe 15, 20 bucks on some extra cards you want to switch out or whatever, and this could be pretty competitive. I mean, 24...
One Pack Rat, like... I want at least two or three in my deck.
Yeah, but again, that's a real cheap card, so you're not going to spend too much on those. But I don't know. This is one of those decks, if you're new to Magic, if you're trying to get into it, this is, I think, actually one of the better event decks as far as giving you a base that you can easily transform into something that's a lot more competitive. Whereas before, you know, the last event deck was a real big miss for me, and it was like one of those decks you'd have to buy like two or three of and put together to be any good. This seems like you could switch out some stuff, really cheaply tune it, and be good to go.
Yeah, I would have liked to see like a Mutavault in here too, but you know, that's me hoping for things that just aren't viable.
Yeah, I mean, there's weird stuff. Staff of the Death Magus in the sideboard. Like, come on, Watsy. Like, are you really just sitting on a stash of cards you want to get rid of? Like, come on. Some of this shit's just funny to me. Like, Cremate, that's the one thing is I wish they stuck with cards that they're at least seeing get played. Like, okay, four Duress, that's fair.
Two Dark Betrayal, that's fine. I even like the Gift of Orzhova if you're going to have Agent of Fates.
Gift of Orzhova, fair. Farika's Cure, good. That's main deckle right now. I would almost switch that out with some of the Doomblades in here.
Probably right away. I would get rid of the Faded Return and put one Farika's Cure in and probably one Doomblade and put the other Farika's Cure in just to start.
Yeah. And but, I mean, Staff of it, come on. Just some of these are just... It's just they troll us. I believe they troll us. People say, you know, they're not trolling us, but I think somewhere at WotC someone's laughing about that.
All you got to do is look at the face of Trick on the archive picture, and you know that you're being trolled.
Yeah.
Well, the event deck isn't for guys like us. It's for somebody who doesn't have a powerful standard deck to show up and buy and then play in their Friday Night Magic and try to do well. And like I said, I like the deck. I think the Agent of Fates and the Tormented Hero are kind of, they're a little out of place, but they're humans in there with the Zachary Necromancer. This deck has 13 humans in it.
Yeah, so, it does. I mean, I don't know. I understand where you're coming from, but in the past, and you know, truth be told, like I can remember one of their very first decks was like this red deck that literally you could open and win an FNM because I saw it happen.
I think you could with this. If your meta is super, if everyone's playing control, you're going to win.
Yeah, you would probably be control. I don't know. Like I look at this deck and typically with these decks, and this is how I've always looked at them, is how many of these do I have to buy to say, okay, I'm ready to play? And typically it's two. And I think the numbers, you think it's still two? See, I think it's three.
I think it's two with this one.
Okay.
I think you go humans with this, with the Necromancer. Yeah. You beat the Supreme Verdicts. You, like you were saying, you swap out the Faded Returns. You don't need those. Gift of Orzhova all the way to hit your heroic creatures. And Blood Scribbler, that guy does stuff. There's even a Crypt Ghast in there, so you're extorting when you have extra mana.
Fair. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Crypt Ghast was really sweet. Upon stack, there was the
Collingwood's Brood.
Yeah, that was like you were trying to tap eight for, I don't know what it was you were trying to get in, but it was something crazy. Like, yeah, I don't know. This deck is one of the better ones I've seen. The last deck I liked that they put together was an event deck from Dark Ascension, the Birthing Pod. It was a green black.
Oh, shit, that was great. Yeah,
That was a really good. I mean, that was a deck that's the first when I got back into the game right before, you know, the Avacyn pre-release, looked into that deck. Megan got that deck. I got the red one, and that deck was really good actually, and allowed us to build off of pretty easily and win a lot of Magic with. But I haven't seen a deck that's wowed me really like since then. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping when they went to the one deck that they would get a little better. Sure, they're giving us more rares, but I just think that they could have placed the rares in better positions. Which ones they're giving you extras of. You know, like you said, Pack Rat's not that expensive. Why not throw in an extra Pack Rat?
Yeah, if Hero's Downfall was still $20, this, I would say grab this if you can, but. Yeah,
it's not.
It seems almost like it's another mistake by WotC's Future League. I know they have really good designers and really good players in there, but they seem to misinterpret some of the signs sometimes on what's going to be good and what's going to stay up and whether they can acknowledge a secondary market or not. They thought that was going to be a huge impact player and going to have a better price on it. I think they missed it. I think they just missed where it was going to fall to.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sure.
So another little tidbit that they announced was From the Vault Annihilation.
Oh no, they're already doing another fucking From the Vault.
Well, they do one. Well, this ain't coming out, I think, till October or some shit. It usually August 22nd.
August.
Yeah, it doesn't come out until like usually a month or two before the new block. But they announced it, and from what it basically says here. It says, sweep the battlefield. So this is going to be 15, like, mass removal spells. Okay, so, you know, you're going to get your Wrath of God. You're probably going to get your Supreme Verdict. Annihilation? Or Decree of Annihilation, maybe? Because, you know, you're going to want to touch on every color, I would think.
Winds of this Wrath?
Seems like a bad idea. Like, this is really underwhelming. God, this sounds like a shit From the Vault.
But the thing is, if you look back from the beginning, I actually think this is a cool idea for From the Vault. I mean, no, it's not something you're going to buy to go play, you know, to crack it open and immediately start playing in a tournament with it. You know, like, oh, I'm going to use all these 15 cards to put it in my EDH deck or put it here, put it there. This is more, if you look back over the 21 years of Magic at this point, there's always been that mass removal spell in the format. Like, yeah. Okay, you have to deal with this mass removal spell. And I think if they do this right, you know, Damnation, Wrath of God, little things like that, you can actually really look back at the history of Magic in general just with this one set of 15 cards. Hey, six of them have new art. Yay!
You know what would be sweet if they give us, is that Wrath of God from Alpha with all the bodies like on the ground and...
Dude, that was all the way up till 9th edition.
And a foil of that.
Yeah, I have a couple foils in 9th edition of that. I love that card.
Yeah, I love that art on that. I don't know. So this is, I'm new to, you know, these From the Vaults just started. I've only experienced a couple of them, a few of them. Is this something like, are they always some weird like theme or?
Yes, it's always a theme.
So this is a usual thing then, so. Yeah.
But what this also means is, there's always one card from the new set that gets placed in one of these.
So you think we'll get a new Wrath?
So there's going to be a new type of Wrath that comes.
Well, we kind of, didn't we just get one? We got the one that...
Yeah, Supreme Verdict, but that's right.
No. We got the new one from, is it Born of Gods or Theros? It's like 7 mana, 6 or 7 mana.
That's not a properly costed Wrath, bro.
good Wraths are costed around 4. 4 CMC.
I will tell you something. This doesn't sound like a From the Vault that Gavin can really fuck up.
No, you're actually right there. He can't fuck, well, he could fuck this up. I mean, there's some bad Wraths if you go back, like if he decides to use like Soul Scour and shit like that.
Oh, Jesus.
he could fuck this up. There's been some bad wrasts over the days, but okay. If he stuck around like the 4 mana cost, like, I mean, if you put Damnation and Wrath of God in here alone, that makes it worth MSRP, which we know it's going to end up being more expensive than that just because it's so limited. So all he has to do is just find a few good ones. Like Supreme Verdict, I don't think will ever lose value because it's uncounterable. I don't know if we're going to see the one from Zendikar. Day of Judgment. Yeah, that's what that was called. Because that seems like way too many just Wrath of Gods. I would think we would need some differences here or there. Green would probably be what, like Sandstorm or Desert Twister?
What I was going to ask is, would you consider a card like Mutilate to be like, or will we see things like that in this set? Like,
I was fixing to ask the same question. Are they only going to be destroy all this, destroy creatures, destroy permanents?
Yeah, it sounds like they're limiting themselves to blue and white if they just do that.
Oh, because like black has, like I said, Damnation. Oh, then you have, and like red, what was it, Decree of Annihilation, where it like destroyed all lands. Basically all permanents.
Well, and red also has World Fire, man. Yeah.
No, that, I hope it's gone. They don't put that in. And that green, there is things, I want to say, what was it? Desert Twister is like X damage to every creature with flying, maybe? I don't know. It's been a while since I've even seen that card. That card's not very good. Didn't see a lot of play, but like, I'm trying to think of a green sweeper and that's about
it. I don't know. I hope Gavin gives us a new art foil World Fire.
Don't
That's
say
what
that.
I'm saying.
He might take you up on that, dude.
I'm Please. Calling it now. It'll be in this set.
Yes. That will rock.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, hey, maybe we'll get a brand new art foil. Fuck, with Mizzia Borders.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Yeah, that'd be all
right. That's a card that's getting a lot of play right now. It would sell some of these.
Yeah, but it would rotate out by the time this really came out, so.
Yeah.
Desert Twister is destroy any card in play.
Oh, okay. So what was the other Twister then that I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Who cares? It's not Desert Twister then. All right. Thank you for looking that up.
Yes, sir.
Damn it, I gotta figure out what it was. Anyway, so one more little thing I need to talk about. Actually a couple things, and these are pretty much basic announcements from us specifically. The first one is, GP Philadelphia. I don't know, like I was going to it and like that was set in stone, but the posse has kind of like made that our destination for the year. A bunch of people were showing up to that. So
I like the sound of this. I'm like taking a trip to, fucking Philly in April.
Yeah. April 11th through the 13th is the, GP in Philly. Try and make your way out there, because I've already talked to about 30 people I know for a fact who's going to be there and are ready to party. So
what we need to do then is get something up on the Facebook page, start planning. Let's get
shit. There's a whole group already dedicated to this, bro.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. But yeah,
that's when you're fucking homework again.
Let's pick out a hotel. Get us on the same floor.
Well, I already got my hotel, so I mean, it's a little late for me.
How far are you from Philly?
How far am I from Philly?
Yeah.
About 6 hours. Pennsylvania's a wide state, dude.
I might, cause I'm thinking me and Megan might, instead of driving there, just bus. You know, that could be a decent bus ride.
Shit, I was thinking about busing from here just because it's so, alright, look, if you're not from one of the major East Coast hubs, you don't know what driving in a city like Philadelphia is like. Even if you're on the West Coast and you deal with the crazy traffic problems like in LA and that, you still don't understand what East Coast driving is like, because out on the West Coast, everything's built on a fucking grid. On the East Coast, these are all old horse trails that they've decided to pave, so the roads go fucking everywhere. And once you put all the traffic on top of it, it's a real pain in the ass. So I'm thinking about busing myself and just catching a cab to my hotel and then to the event each day, you know, because it just, yeah. I went onto the professional events website, the people who are hosting it, and I just got my hotel through them. They have a pretty good deal. It's $149 a night, which is very cheap for Philadelphia. So for downtown, if you want to get out of town, you can find them for like $90, but you know, you got to be prepared to get up and drive an hour every morning.
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, no, this sounds like a ton of fun. Shit. Posse, this could be a big thing, man. Let's do it. This has got to be something I'm going to definitely try to look into, start saving for now. And
it's a limited GP. You don't have to worry about putting together a deck or anything. It's more or less just show up, play your cards, wash out, go party.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, I already have,
Dragon will be playing Topless Magic, so, you know.
I already have, Slick Jagger and Motika saying that they're gonna hold back some Brainstorm Brew for us. So, I mean, yeah, this is happening. Find your way to Philly. We will be there, or at least I know I will. Ryan sounds like he's going to try and make it. So this is our destination for the year. Last year it was a hell of a lot easier at being in Pittsburgh. Yeah. But, you know, if it can't be in Pittsburgh, I guess it's going to be in Philly. And I mean, a lot of people are showing up. I know this for a fact that Kelso is going to be there. From, Tap and Sack, half a posse is going to be there the way I've basically been told now. So I'm really pumped about doing this now.
Scandinavians, if you're, you know, interested in coming abroad.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Get to Philly. Get Look Philly. At the Rocky statue.
Right.
And a broken fucking bell. But let's not overlook the fact that you can get a Geno's.
Yeah.
If you want to drive into the ghetto, you can get a Geno's. Dude, like, I don't know. Have either of you ever been to Philadelphia?
No.
Never.
Okay. Like, everybody knows it's Geno's and Sal's, right? Those are the two cheesesteak places.
Yeah, they're like right across the street from each other,
they
right?
They are, right? I mean, and it's just, it's the destination for all the tourists when they come to Philadelphia. Like, oh, we got to get one of these cheesesteaks. Dude, it is in the middle of the fucking hood. Don't park out of eyesight or you ain't going to have tires. It couldn't have been in a worse fucking place. Nice. But it's been there forever, so it is what it is. So yeah, do that. And then the other announcement I have to make is this may actually be done by the time you hear this podcast.
Uh-oh.
The website is coming extremely soon. Please send me
coming harder than your girlfriend.
Yeah, please send me feedback on what you want to see on this site. Because yes, I know that we're going to have all of our shows are going to be on it. The Imps Prison will be on it. I'm going to try to put together some content here and there, you know, from different people. Other things though that you might want to see on here is what I want to know.
I'm going to fill my cup with vodka at this announcement, Angelo.
Okay, fair enough.
This is big news.
Yeah, again, the whole reason I'm doing this and I announced this before is so we can get our own iTunes feed. So I don't have to go through the MTGcast iTunes feed. You'll be able to just download our stuff, and not have to go through the whole list of stuff that's going to be on there. This is going to happen extremely soon here, but it's going to be fluid, at least for the first month or two. Let me know what you want to see on here so I can build the website to your wants. Because, I mean, I told you why I'm doing it. The rest of it's all for you. Let me know what you want on the website.
Ned, if you want to contribute in any way, let us know. Going off real quick, not to cut Angelo off. Angelo, what you said about RSS feeds. Guys, if you're already listening to this on your iPod or whatever, please get the RSS feed and please do listen to our show through that when it comes up, because that'll give us a more accurate, you know, representation of how many listeners we got and things like that. And it just would help out
and you'll get it quicker.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. You'll get it the next day.
There's that too. There's that too. But I mean, the numbers from MTGcast or, you know, they come or they don't come or, you know, this will, if you listen to it through the RSS feed, that'd be a big help to us. So.
Yes. And then we'll also, you know, you'll hear me start screaming on every episode. Listen to it on our RSS feed. Rate, review, because that's like a big deal on the iTunes page. So you'll have to like go on there and you'll have to go, yeah, these guys are great. And then that'll be it. 5 stars.
No other star levels acceptable.
Yes.
Only 5 stars.
Yes. If you give me 3 stars and I find out who you are, you're not going to like me.
I'll kick your ass. Yeah.
We are going to hunt you down like a dog and treat you like a giraffe in Scandinavia.
It's going to be like Jay and Silent Bob at the end of that movie with the list.
Oh, I was going to say, we got JBL right here. We'll just send him out and pile drive some motherfuckers.
Yeah, clothesline's from hell.
I've told you, the clothesline's genetic. It runs in the family. That's where it comes from. It's in the blood, man. It's in the blood.
I can see it. Just big old Texas brute, just clothesline from hell. Wham! Oh shit. So that's gonna be the end of our typical magic portion of the thing. Guys, especially we'll start with CL there. What's your middle initial?
C.
Okay, so CCL here.
No.
Not nearly as good as JBL.
My middle initial is C. I don't go by my first name because there's I'm the third. There's three of us in the family. My dad has a nickname. My mother just decided to use my middle name instead of my first name.
Okay, so your middle name, as far as I'm concerned, is now Bradshaw. So, CDL here.
All right. I like it.
What have you been up to? There anything off? Because this is the part of the cast where normally we just ramble. So if there's anything you want to bring up, you want to ramble about, by all means, I don't even care if it's wrestling stuff. Feel free to, tell us what's going on with you. What's up, man?
I don't watch the wrestling anymore. I used to a long time ago. I mean, I catch JBL doing some commentary on Raw every once in a while, but it's just not as good as it used to be.
And yeah, can I tell you the last time this is maybe giving my age away a bit or something, but the last time I was really watching wrestling was, what was his name? Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, that's
when he's better than saying Coco Beware.
Well, that's true. Or the Ultimate Warrior.
Never mind. I was about to go into a theme song there. That's bad.
Texas is, we're football and wrestling. People don't know about the wrestling as much, like the Undertakers from Texas, Booker T, JBL, Stone Cold Steve Austin. A lot of wrestlers come from Texas, the Funk Brothers. I used to go to the Sportatorium all the time in the middle of Dallas, watch the Von Erichs wrestle the Freebirds. That'll show you some age right there.
Yeah. You know what's sad? Pittsburgh is the other Texas as far as wrestling goes.
Yeah, it is.
Because Shane Douglas, literally, I see him at the,
Pittsburgh's big for high school wrestling and stuff too, isn't it? Like legit wrestling.
No, not really. It's more middle of the state. Penn State is one of the best wrestling schools you can go to for college.
Well, yeah, I was going to say Pennsylvania, Iowa, those are two states that are...
Yeah, just really good. But, as far as wrestling goes, I'm sorry. Yeah. Virgil's from around here, and there's just a lot of wrestlers that just come from, this immediate area of just where I'm at, my county inside Pennsylvania. So it's kind of weird. I know where you're coming from, where it's literally, high school football on Friday nights, and then it's, wrestling.
That's all we got, and horses and beer. That's it. That's all we got down here. And magic. We play some magic every once in a while.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
What have I been doing? I've been selling Girl Scout cookies at my local game shop.
That's awesome. I didn't know they let a big Texas boy into the Girl Scouts.
Well, I asked nicely, and I look damn good in the uniform. I'm just saying.
You got to be careful with those Girl Scout cookies. You know what some people are saying now? Those Girl Scout cookies promote lesbianism and feminism.
Jesus Christ.
We don't want any feminism to get out. How dare they?
I'm just saying. You don't want to turn into a lesbian if you're selling those. It could happen.
Well, I'm already part lesbian, if that counts. I like women. So I have three magic playing women in my family. I've got my wife and both of my daughters. They all play.
And a podcast partner.
And my podcast partner. Well, that's kind of why I wanted her as a podcast partner. Not to bring a somber tone to the cast, but women issues in magic really affect me because of my family and my friends. So,
My girlfriend plays, and I get shit all the time about her being better than me at the shop and whatever. And
here, because she is in fact better than you.
Better than you, no shame.
But, I've seen it, the people, staring or whatever, or checking her out or not taking her seriously, and then she sits down and literally just ruins your night, I get where you're coming from though. Cause I live with a female magic player myself. So yeah.
My podcast partner actually went to another store to play Friday Night Magic recently. She said she walked in, the owner looked at her and went, "Did you mean to walk into the bar next door?" are you in the right place? She's like, "No, I'm here to play magic. That's what I do." So totally understand that. I record with my buddies Zero Fortitude sometimes. I haven't recently cause I've re-injured a herniated disc. So I've been laying down a lot, but. Those guys do games and, I just got a Gen Con pass approved, so.
Oh, you lucky prick.
I hear about the Pinhams posse going to, y'all are all going to Philly, right?
Yeah.
I want to go to Philly, but I can't go to Philly because I've got to go to Gen Con. I want to go to Montreal. I want to be on the drunk train with the heavy meta SVU, but I can't do that either.
Poor you. You got to go to Gen Con.
Actually had to pull out of the drunk train. I was going to do it. And then my wife came down with something and it just an immediate, cost has hit us and it's just too close to us getting this cost. I just can't do it. Sucks.
Hey, life happens, man. You gotta take care of yourself and family first.
I suppose.
Well, you know.
I mean, I'll take care of myself. Don't get me wrong with the family part. I mean, most of them are replaceable.
Well, I've often told my wife I can just get another one.
But the thing is, it's cheaper to keep her at this point. It's just face facts.
Well, you don't have to pay to get rid of her. There's, never mind. We, no, 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 no. You guys don't condone illegal actions. Just saying.
We don't? Right. Do we not condone illegal actions on this show? Am I missing something? I thought the only thing we don't condone is hate speech.
I was going to, what I'm doing right now is illegal. My state, at least, yes.
Podcasting while drinking alcohol and being nude?
No, I am clothed, but you know, my medicine is frowned upon by a lot of people, so.
Yes, by 48 states, 20 of them medically you're allowed to, enjoy his medicines. The other 30, not so much.
I've told my wife I'm going to start using that because she asked me how I'm going to make it through Gen Con if I can barely walk with my back. I said, medical marijuana, baby.
You know what? It might really help you. I'm not even kidding. Like, it might be something, you know, that could benefit you for sure. I worked with a guy that had glaucoma. He was like more than 90% blind in one eye. I started hooking him up. Sees perfectly.
Maybe he thinks he sees perfectly.
No, sees perfectly. No more issues.
Wow, that's
awesome.
Once in a while I get glaucoma of the anus, but that's only right before work because I don't see my ass going in. That's a bad joke, I know.
Wow. Oh my God.
It's a bad joke, I know, but hey, I had to lighten things up a little bit. You guys got a little bit too serious about the whole drug talk there.
We did. It's
public service announcement from your
public PSA. Yeah, definitely.
Ryan, what you been up to, bro?
Well, work as usual. We had an interesting meeting with corporate today, and it was one of those, hey guys, let's be a team, like we can do better meetings, you know, typical BS. Right. It was bullshit. And so they give us these cards, right? And they ask us two questions, like basically like ways to improve the company and I don't know, some other superficial bullshit. And the guy I have the biggest complaints about, my boss, right? The dude that I like would just love to see fired is sitting right next to me and we're asked to write our like most honest answers on these cards. And I'm just like, this dude is right next to me. So I'm like leaning forward with like my shoulder turned to him, like kind of like covering up my card.
Like you're cheating on a test and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, so I go and then like I cover it with my hand and then I kind of nonchalantly flip the card over. Well, then the president of the company comes around, he collects everybody's cards and he throws them in the middle of the table, the front table, the first table that I'm at next to this guy, just flips them down right in the middle of the table face up and guess who's sitting on top?
Yeah, but he didn't know that it was your name, did he? It's all anonymous, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
unless you put your name on it,
writing and you could see it, like, and I and everyone, they had pens. They handed out pens for everyone, and I had my own pen, so the ink was different.
So you're not going to have a job when you go into bar? Is that what you're saying?
I kind of like look over and I'm like, oh man, if my boss sees what I wrote on that fucking card, luckily. The dude like picked him up after a few seconds and like put him in his pocket, but I was like, it was just one of those things, man. I was like, what the, it's like, I don't know, one year in high school, I was talking mad shit about the principal and then he walked up behind me and like no one said anything and I just kept going on and then I looked behind me and he's standing right there. Bramo, my office.
See, I used to just walk up to the principal and just talk mad shit to him.
Yeah, but I mean, so it was funny as fuck. So there was that and, trying to make some changes to my modern deck. I've got 4 slots open right now. I need to find something to do with, thinking maybe a couple hero blade holds. I cut my 4 blade splicers I was running. I just wasn't getting as much of the beatdown as I wanted out of it. I'm not running Resto Angel. You know, it's modern. I don't still
Brimaz.
Yeah. I mean, Brimaz is good, and I got a play set of those on the way. My thing is, yeah, cause Blade Splicer Torpor Orb is pretty big in my meta, And that really hurts my deck because I'm, you know, I'm running like a Death and Taxes. I love the Flicker Wisp or whatever. Torpor Orb's pretty rough. So I mean, either that was shutting down Blade Splicer or they were just killing it and not caring. And it'd be different if I was running four Restoration Angels on top of the Flicker Wisps and were able to, you know, maybe really maximize my odds of bouncing them and getting, you know, more value out of them. But
so just Calvin,
I really want my Flicker Wisp.
Hold on, Ryan. Calvin.
Yeah.
Is it my imagination or did he just figure out what his four slots are getting filled by?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, go on, Ryan.
Do you think Restoration Angel's modern playable really? Like,
I've been seeing him pop up in lists here and there on some of the, things that are being worked on currently. In the right deck, I don't see why it's not.
I could maybe add those and add the Blade Splicers back in and cut Aven Mind Censor. The card's hit or miss, man. And on turn three, unless I buy, you know, I'm trying to vial it in, it already, you know.
What are you using it against?
Well, I mean, it's good against, cause I'm also running the Leonin Arbiter that they can't search out their libraries without paying two.
Yeah.
And so I'm running the Aven Mind Censor on top of it. But my problem is by the time that comes down in a lot of cases, they've already fetched all they need to anyways.
Okay.
It's just, in the matchups, it's good and it's not really wow. And then in the matchups, it's bad. It's like really bad. It's just a 2-1 for three mana with it's. I don't know. It's really underwhelming. It's been a real big hit or miss. So that's another card I've been on the fence about, but.
Mind Sensor is very good incremental advantage, dude. That's how you have to look at it.
Yeah. It just late game, I hate pulling it, especially if they've already fetched out.
It's still a flash flyer. I mean, even late game, you get a flash flyer that you can swing through, you know, the next turn with. I don't know. I think he's good for incremental advantage. I don't think he's, you know, the card that's going to single-handedly, you know, make your deck the best deck, but that's what Death and Taxes is. It's a bunch of little incremental advantage cards.
Yeah, yeah. I need to figure out a better sword package too. I'm just running the one that gives you pro red and white. I think okay. I need to add another sword, maybe Light and Shadow. Just really just another sword, period. I am selling most of the modern Soul Sisters deck, so if anyone needs Sarah Ascendance, get rid of them for pretty cheap. So, and the rest of that deck was cool for about a week, but I can't, unless your meta's all like mono red burn, don't play Soul Sisters.
Yeah, pretty much the entire Magic world already knew that.
Well, I mean, dude, it took me,
it's a good starting spot,
but you know how noobs are about life gain. We fucking drool over this shit. So every time, like, yeah. I got into Standard, what's the first thing I played? Life gain bullshit.
Then it's because Thrag Tusk was in the format. That skewed how good life gain was.
Yeah, but then I get into modern and it's like life gain. Yeah, like that's, so, I don't know, man. Not
all cards that gain you life like Thrag Tusk are that good.
Yeah,
uncommonly good.
Yeah, well, he was a good
card. Sarah Ascendant's good. Sarah Ascendant's good if you get the nut hand with like the Martyr of Sands and you can instantly like, you know, hit your 30 some odd life and get the 6/6 flyer. Otherwise it.
Does that deck run Proclamation of Rebirth?
I wasn't running the Martyr Proc version. Okay. But I do have proc. I probably should have ran one or two procs in retrospect.
Yeah, I do like Proclamation. I always did. Like, it just, I mean, I played during Cold Snap, and like that was actually an unfair deck to be playing was Proclamator.
Oh yeah, and Soul Sisters basically relies on one drops. So
yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't be good. Man. But,
yeah. So that's just it. Just been working on some modern stuff. Had to order a bunch of the new Born of the Gods cards because none of the fucking stores had, they all sold out of Drown in Sorrow and Bioblights before I could get them. And I opened a fat pack and only got two Drown in Sorrows. So that's kind of upsetting.
Nine packs? That's not bad. It's an uncommon, dude.
Yeah, I really wanted the Bioblight, so I had to order them. But speaking of this fat pack, did you see the picture?
Yeah, I did.
Maybe one of the worst fat packs I've ever opened.
I don't know, I saw Kiora in there, I was like, ooh.
Kiora's good. Kiora goes up to 40 bucks, so I'll be happy. Two Hero of Iroeth, the Kiora, a Mind Reaver, the worst rare in the set, in my opinion. Perplexing Chimera, Tromacratus, Eater of Hope, Force Stoker Dragon, Temple of Malice, and the Green-White Temple of Plenty. Pretty underwhelming fat pack, but.
Well, you got the Blizzard Beast, man.
Yura is pretty sweet.
I said the Blizzard Beast. Thermocratus.
Card sucks so hard.
It's great for Sealed, but that's about it.
It's Thermocratus. I'm calling him Thermocratus.
The Perplexing Chimera might see some EDH play. Ryan Tice, correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I think it's EDH playable.
Yeah, I mean, most cards are EDH playable. It's just whether or not you want to take the time to build around them.
Yeah.
I've seen some bad cards, sort of Tybalt. Tybalt is not EDH playable, but yeah, I've seen some bad cards become very playable when you get into, EDH because that format is just made for fucked up degenerate things.
Yeah, it's for fun. But yeah, that's all I've been up to. What about you, man? You got hit with a bunch of snow up there like we did or what?
Oh yeah, we got crushed with snow. I got, let's see, I got screwed Saturday pretty good. Like, I walk into my game.
Well, I was going to say by who?
Well, it was by the referee. I walk into the game, the referee comes wandering up to me before the game even started, pulls me aside and goes, I don't want to hear a fucking word out of your mouth all game. And I'm like, dude, I got to fight for my kids. That's just how it is.
Wow.
Because I'm telling you, I'm not in the mood. I don't want to hear a fucking word out of you. So at the end of game one, it wasn't terrible, but it was pretty – it was kind of lopsided into the other team's favor as far as his calls were going. By the end of game two – dude, I had kids coming off with bloody lips and he wasn't calling it. We got our free throws. We got outshot, you know, chances at the free throw line, 12-2.
Jesus.
And I'm just like, come on, man. I got done. I went up to the president of the fucking league, and I'm just like, where do I protest this game? Because that was fucking ridiculous.
I know what that's like, man. I know what it's like to be screwed. I had a game where I found out the next week that the guy that was reffing had a nephew on the team. And he was in questionable calls. I've had, I mean, well, you know, the hood kids, man, these refs.
Well, this referee specifically is a crackhead, and one of the coaches on the opposite team, I'm pretty sure is a crack dealer, hence he's been in jail multiple times for doing that, for selling crack. So I'm just like, just giving this dude support so he can get some fucking cash. And the team, we lost both games, and the team had yet to win a game all year.
That's insane. See, I've usually been screwed out, like, cause I've run usually a wacky offense, and when I was running the single wing one year, I'd have refs blow the ball dead when my runner was clear downfield with no one on him, cause we run those trick wedges and stuff like, and spinners, and they got three fucking people they gotta watch that may have the ball, and then they're blowing the call dead, and my guy's fucking 50 yards downfield with no one near him.
Yeah, with the ball just running, like, no, we're going.
It happens all the time on the wedge right up the middle too.
Yeah, I just got screwed because I don't know, he was upset with me or something. I don't know what the hell happened, but the team I needed to lose lost, so both of my teams clinched their divisions. So when it was all said and done, it was like it wasn't that bad, I guess, but just
congrats on the team doing, you know, congrats on the success, man.
Yeah, it sucks to have to explain to these kids though at the end of the game that, look, that happens sometimes. I'm sorry.
Well, you had really low, I mean, not that your standards are always high for what you want the kids to learn in life, but your standards as far as your team's success this year weren't very high, and they've, man, you got to be proud of these boys, man.
Well, you know,
they've really done some work this year.
Ask me in a month when the playoffs are over, and I'll tell you. Because right now, like, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it was just step one. You know, like, oh, good, you completed step one. Congratulations. Now let's move on to the next one. You know what I mean? Like, now we got a playoffs we got to take down. Then we got a championship we got to take down. Like,
That's how you got to see things a week at a time, man.
Yeah, I do not reflect on how the season's gone until literally, like, the last game of the season. Because I have to prepare for the next team. It's kind of screwy like that. But I guess that's the life of being a coach. Let's see, what else? And oh, what's in lots of Olympics?
I was going to say, you need to get that other coach away from those kids, man.
Dude, you know what? In this town, it's hard. Because, you know, only so many people were coming for it. It's kind of fucked up because in the basketball league, you don't have to have no documentation to be a coach, okay? In all of the other leagues, like, you have to go through multiple background checks. For me to coach baseball, I had to do 4 background checks. To coach football, you got to go through 4 background checks. But basketball, for some reason, it's just like, you know, look, we just want somebody to show up at the gym and help these kids a few days a week. And
that's fair. Yeah. But I mean,
I don't think it's good role models.
That's how shit happens. That's how crazy shit happens, though.
Yeah.
So that's a society issue that you can't bring up because it'll bring everybody down.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. I mean, at this point, I can't walk up and go, look, you know, you're going to have to throw 9 coaches out of this league because they're all like mixed up with crime. You know, I'm coaching 12 teams.
To be fair, if they did background check everybody, they would probably find 0 child molesters. You know what I mean? Like the odds of that are.
Well, get on Megan's Law. No, I mean, as far as coaches go, no, there's no child molesters. It's other crime that, you know, they got to worry about. I mean, because a lot of people I know in this town specifically want to coach baseball, and none of them can because, you know, they have a drug conviction or they have, you know, some sort of conviction out there that just causes problems for them. So it is what it is. I mean, that's that. I mean, I've been watching a ton of Olympics. It's unfortunate. Like, I watch so much curling. It's unreal.
And God, all it is, why is that a sport?
Dude, it's shuffleboard on ice. Have you ever played shuffleboard? I love me some shuffleboard.
God, dude, curling is such a joke.
Dude, you know what though? You shut your mouth because you're as old as I am. That is the only thing keeping my Olympic dream alive. I can still do that.
You could probably sweep the hell out of some ice, man.
Oh yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Probably like raking, but much faster and shit.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, I'd probably fall on the fucking ice.
Yeah, that's the hard part is standing up and moving with the thing.
Yeah, they have one shoe that's flat completely and the other shoe has like spikes in it. That's why if you'll notice, like if you ever watch it, you'll see one guy flying down the ice and he's just on one shoe. That's because that's actually how the setup is. It's weird.
Yeah, I'd have to sweep myself because there's no way I could. No. If I went down to one knee on the ice, I'd go ass down on the ice.
You know, like I could work that broom. I don't know if I could get down and push that thing. My knees are fucked.
No, I don't know about big Texas dudes on some ice.
Well, you know, we got some of that going on right now. It's not working out too well for us.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the picture the other day I put up. It was a 14-foot wall of snow that was like 40 feet deep.
I saw that.
It's just unreal. It's like, holy fuck, so much snow. And, dude, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he's like, so when do you think this is going to melt? I'm like, May, June.
I don't Jesus. Know.
These piles are so big, like, it's going to take a prolonged period of time for all the snow to melt.
Oh, for sure.
It's a bit unreal. Aside from that, I really ain't been doing shit. Like, I'm waiting for MTGO to get going later this week with the new set. Cause I'm gonna blast some games there, let me tell you.
Yeah, I was gonna say you gotta be excited about the, release on MTGO, doing some drafts.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing some drafts. Like, this is, I don't know, I'm gonna do some sealeds, of course, because I do think that it's better now than it was when it was just Theros. But I have not gotten to do any drafts yet with the new set, and I really wanna see how it's changed it.
When you do the drafts during the release, do you do triple, are you going to do triple Born of the Gods, or are you going to do the Born of the Gods Theros?
Okay, this is kind of weird. Like, I'll do a few of the triples, but that's actually just to get cards.
Right.
But, because, like, during the pre-release, if you can do the triples, you get your money back, like, right away, because all of the rares and stuff, the bots are looking for all of them. So they overpay for them because they have to have them because the day the pre-release comes out, you can actually use those cards in standard. So the bots are looking for whatever. So you can do the triples and actually, you know, even if you get bad rares, you still can kind of get your money back. So I'll do a lot of them, you know, probably for like the first 4 or 5 days, and then I'll switch over to normal drafts and start to really begin to nail down what the metagame actually is. But man, I really can't wait for that. Like I have a good feeling Friday night I'm going to be sitting in front of my computer all night doing drafts. Good fun. Probably triple queuing and shit just to get as many games in as I possibly can. Nice. Yeah, so yeah, that'll be it for that. CCL there. CBL, my bad. You have any shout outs you want to give, bro?
Of course. I want to shout out Casey, my co-host. I want to shout out the boys at Zero Fortitude. We had their leader, our version of Batman, Michael, on our episode number 3. I wanted to shout out Angelo.
Who's that?
That's you.
Oh, me? Yeah. What did I do?
For the assistance when we got started up, dude, that was fucking awesome. Anybody wants to start a podcast, just do it. I was scared. I was nervous about doing it. If you think you can talk about magic, you can talk about magic. Just jump in there and try to get some done. And when Casey and I decide to have our first real guest on, we want to invite you on our podcast.
Fair enough. Just give me a little bit of a heads up, and as long as I ain't doing nothing, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. And I want to shout out the heavy meta. I want to shout out the pit imps. I want to shout out every pod. I listen to more podcasts during the week than probably any human alive, because at my job, I can keep the earbuds in all day.
Got you beat. I listen to a lot of them. I'm in the same situation you are. Like when I'm at work, I work 10-hour days and headphones are on for 10 hours. So I go through some podcasts.
If I can't find an MTG podcast, I get upset. I'm like, oh, God, I've run out of MTG to listen to.
Dude, I've actually quit listening to most of my MTG podcasts. I hate to say it. I listen to a bunch of other stuff. We'll wrap after about what I listen to. Like you should probably check some of them out.
Definitely. And, you know, I just want to shout out all the Magic players. Everybody out there who, you know, is striving to make some money. Not the pro level guys. Like, you guys are good, but, you know, fuck you right now. I don't want to shout you out. I don't want to shout out the writers. I want to shout out the regular Magic players, the guys who keep the game going for 20 plus years, because they're the ones that back it with their money.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Ryan, you got any shout outs short of what you're throwing to me on Twitter?
Shout out Houston. He's telling me to play the new Oracle of Bones in my Boros list. I don't know, man. I told him I don't play shitty cards, but maybe it's worth testing. I don't know. It seems like
play shitty cards, but you just said earlier that Chandra's in your deck.
Chandra's not shitty.
Dude, but this might be a point for me to edit in former comments.
Chandra is not shitty. I take it back.
Angelo, do not go listen to episode 3 of Direct Damage, because we actually have a Planeswalker death battle, and it's Chandra versus Kiora, and you may not be happy with the results.
Dude, you know what? I've played both cards, and I actually kind of like them both.
Shout out to the guys over at TNS, Houston and Kelso. Matt Frazier doing it big. Shout out to Brainstorm Brewery and the family there, Marcel, all those guys. Shout out to the posse, including Calvin Layfield coming on here tonight, man. Big up. Glad you joined us. Super cool. And yeah, everyone that's a part of that growing family there that we got on Facebook with our page. Great ideas. I didn't get to read the thread today. It had like 11 comments on it already though. I need to go check that out. I'm assuming that might be talking about the GP that is coming up.
Probably.
Yeah. And Mr. Sullivan, I am still working a Master Cruelties deck. I have not forgot about you. Again, this is something, this is a deck. I'm testing things. I'm not going to put up something that I haven't said I like and taken down an FNM with. You know what I mean? So, that's why there hasn't been a rush on that, or you haven't seen it posted yet. So until I have a deck that's putting up results, I'm not going to give you shit to play. But I can say, this last week that I am more positive on Master Cruelties than I have been. I don't know. I like the card, so.
There's a lot of power there. It's just a matter of actually making it work.
Yeah, right now I'm testing it, and basically I went back to the original version I was working on, which is just like the straight black-red control list. But I added Pack Rat, so I'm up to 16 creatures in there, and I don't know, the Rakdos key runes, I'm kind of iffy about. I don't know. So yeah, but props, big shout out to him, so I haven't forgot about you, and shout out to everyone that's been joining the page. I know we had a couple people this week, I think, for sure. So yeah.
I'll give a shout out to Calvin and his Direct Damage cast, including Girls on Nerds there.
Wait, is that your co-host?
Yes, sir.
Oh, dude, she's hot. Hey, shout out the Girl on Nerds. No, I follow her on Twitter. She follows me. She's cool shit. I had no idea that she was the host of that show.
She's also a derby player, so she can take care of herself.
Yeah, she'll kick your ass, bro.
I'm sure she can. So.
But no, like, shout out to you guys. Thanks for coming on to the cast tonight. I know it was a little short notice, but I figured what the hell.
Dude, I'm still nervous as hell sitting here, and I know it's almost
why?
Over.
Why? We're no different.
You should be drunk by now, Calvin. You should be drunk by now, buddy.
Whoa, I only had two. This is Texas.
Let me see. I got a shout out for Buttercup. I have a shout out for Celso because he cracks me up.
Wait, did you say Celso?
Oh, I'm sorry. Kelso. My bad.
There you go. Get it right, man.
Dude, the other day he actually wasted his life putting together an Angelo is Robert Loggia collage. I'm just like, why would you waste that much time of your life on that? Like, I win regardless of how much you want to troll me. I took 20 minutes of your life.
I saw that. Can we get a more current you know, something, somebody with some relevancy to compare you to, like Robert Loggia. Like, you haven't heard of him since Scarface, and that was like 1986.
Yeah, really. Well, you know what? I want to give a shout out to Onar because he said I am the voice of God. which, hey, I can accept that.
I want to give a shout out to Onar too. That's a bad motherfucker. Is that one of, I think he's one of our foreign listeners.
No, I think he's from Florida.
Really?
Yeah. Cause when he first started following me, like he yelled at me because he jumped in the middle of one of me and Tangent's arguments with each other.
Yeah.
That really means nothing. It's just me and him yelling at each other for no reason. He jumped in on one of those and, you know, it just, anyway, he's
cool. Yeah, he's a cool dude though.
Also, let me think. I want to give a shout out to Dave Planeswalker. And Dave was nice enough to sit down with me and do an interview, which you can go read over on MTG Bro Deals. You totally should. Is a very good interview. You'll learn some things about Planeswalkers that you know, but you don't really know. So I want to give him a thanks for that. So big shout out to him.
That's awesome. Is that up right now?
Yeah.
That guy has some issues.
He does. He definitely has some issues, but he's a good dude. In the long run, he's a good dude.
That was very informative. I'm just saying.
Yes. You'll find out about Billy and everything. So.
This I've got to read. I'm going to read this as soon as we're done here.
That's cool. So yeah, absolutely. Go read that. That was a.
Is this the DP interview? Not what you were expecting.
Yes. DP interview. Not what you was expecting.
That's a great name. Title for an article, man.
A lot of hits to that article for not why you were expecting.
Well, everyone that Googled the movie, the DP interview, which I'm sure exists.
Actually. But the thing was, like, I was supposed to do my article on the limited format for Born of the Gods and what it's brought to the new format. And I wrote it like literally four times and it was all just my best guesses. There was nothing that I could just back up 100% as fact. I was like, it's stupid for me to put this out. I just have not played enough limited yet. So I decided that, you know, to interview Dave instead because he showed up at my house and was like, hey, give me some of that wild turkey. And I was like, all right, well, here's some wild turkey. Let me talk to you for a minute. And, and you know, that came out of it. So, you know, good guy. Go read that, honestly. Calvin, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they?
The easiest way to get a hold of me is through Twitter, and I'm at @0_Layfield. Or through the Direct Damage cast. We're at Direct Damn Cast. Or follow my co-host Casey at Girl on Nerds.
Yeah, do all that. You can even follow Direct Damage Cast on Twitter as well.
Yeah. You need to tell her to come on, man. You need to tell her to get on the imps.
I told Aunt, well, she has derby practice on Wednesdays.
But today's Tuesday.
Oh, well. She does, so her weekdays are like, I don't know her exact schedule. She does Tuesday, she does derby stuff, Wednesday and Thursday are all out.
Oh, okay.
I think. But I told Angelo he should definitely get her on the cast because
well, yeah, we haven't had a female guest yet and I think it'd be great to, hear, you know, I've heard it of course because I live with a female magic player, but just, you know, to get out there, you know, what it's like and I don't know how welcome they feel in the community, things like that, what we could do, to, you know, encourage girls to play magic. It's what the game needs. Who's going to complain if more hot chicks show up at GPs?
At my LGS, women play for free.
See, that's shout out to your LGS.
What's yeah, really. Is that for drafts too? Because if that's for drafts, I'm coming down and drag. No one will ever know.
unfortunately, it's just Friday night magic.
Oh, yins don't draft for Friday night.
No, they just do standard most of the time. Well, they have standard and two-headed giant, I think, but
that sucks.
It's the store owner's philosophy is he goes, hey, if you're a man and you have daughters, they can come play for free. They don't have to feel intimidated. Or you can bring your girlfriend. Same thing. She can play for free and doesn't have to feel intimidated.
That's cool of them. That really is. I mean, the one thing that, like you said about your Friday Night Magic, that kind of like, I don't like for places that their Friday Night Magic is nothing but standard. Cause like, I know where I play, it goes standard draft every other week.
Our community here has grown so much now that every other week. Now it's a modern, a standard, and a draft every Friday.
Yeah, just pick the one you want to get into.
It's amazing, man.
That's really cool. So is there anywhere else they can find you or was that all of them?
That's all on Twitter. If they wanted to reach me through email, just email directdamagecast@gmail.com.
Okay. Ryan. And
look for us on 0fortitude.com.
Yeah. 0fortitude.com. Yeah.
Say your Twitter handle one more time.
My Twitter handle is @0_Layfield. Big picture of JBL on there.
Yeah, with the belt.
Well, I'm already following you. I just wanted you to put that out there again, just one more time.
Oh, okay. I thought you was going through real fast.
Wrestling side note, the name Zero Fortitude comes from the dead card game WWE Raw Deal. And when I played that card game, I played JBL.
Oh, shit. Ryan, where would people get hold of you?
At bro the Ryan, I mean, brother Yan, at brother Yan on Twitter, get at me, hit me up.
He would be asterisk because he's like fucking Prince and he's too good for everybody else that he just goes by the symbol.
He's a fucking symbol.
I'm up to 456. My goal is to surpass Kevy Metal by the end of
Holy
the year.
Holy shit, you're up to 456. I've gained a lot of followers in the last couple of weeks, but I'm nowhere near that. Of course, you know what? I don't run my mouth like you do, so that's probably
why. That's true. Yeah, so that's my goal though. Kevy Metal, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for that number. I'm gonna take it. Yeah, no, you could get me, of course, there, and always
the fuck does that mean? Yeah, no. I've always had a hard time with that. Is it yes or is it no?
It's both, dude. It's stoner talk.
Okay, fair. It's stoner talk. Got it.
I thought Angel said to get the word yeah out of your vocabulary. No more yes. No more yeah, sure. No more yeah, that's a thing. No. Don't say yeah anymore.
I'll work on that. I haven't said that's a card since I heard Angelo complain about it in a recent cast. So.
Well, that's a good reason not to. Where else?
No, and of course the Facebook page. Hit me up on the Facebook page. Guys, we love hearing from you and all your ideas, and everyone that gets on there and communicates is helping us out. So for sure, share your ideas. We need to get some more deck lists up there, and I promise another challenge is coming. Just don't know if I want it to be a card from Born of the Gods that we build around yet. So there's still some things from Theros I think we can do some wacky shit with. So
okay,
yeah, so stay tuned for that. We will have another deck build challenge. Someone messaged me the other day on Facebook and actually asked about that. Like, hey, when's the next? You know, when you're doing a deck challenge, whatever.
Dude,
so
I still have a fucking package of cards sitting in there because I can't run into Frank anywhere. So Frank, you still have cards waiting for you. Just like, you know, get a hold of me.
Yeah, bro. Damn. You got 30 days or they're Angelo's.
No, it's been long past 30 days, bro.
Yeah.
They would so be mine. So if you wanted to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at, Gonksuo on Twitter. That's GanksuOu. Also the exact same on MTGO. Which I should this weekend be on quite often. You can also get a hold of me at pitimppodcast@gmail.com. If you got something a little long form, again, there is the Facebook group that is always stupid important. Please go, you know, jump on there because you know what? We actually have a very large community as far as podcast groups go. Because I've talked to other podcast groups and they're like, oh, yeah, we got like 15, you know, and they've been out a lot longer. So, you know, continue jumping on that. That's important to me. Also, let's see here. You can get a hold of me at, let's see, Facebook group. Oh yeah, MTG Bro Deals, where you can read about Dave Planeswalker.
Which I'm doing right now. And this guy funny as fuck, I gotta say that. Who is this guy?
He's a good dude. Also, if you are going to Philly, which I should have gave this dude a shout out earlier and I didn't, and I'll give it right now. If you are going to Philly and you want to get in on like the pit imps, you know, side of it, that yeah, you know, we want to hang out with the imps and all that other shit. You want to get a hold of Jonathan Stemrich. He's got a group up all about going to Philly, what people are planning on doing while they're there, kind of a guide on this or that. And he's a part of the, pit imps group. So please get a hold of him if you are going to Philly and you can jump into that group as well. But, so next week we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about GP Paris. We're going to talk about Star City Games in Jersey. But yeah, until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Hey, Angelo, I got a question real quick.
Okay.
Before you get out here.
Oh, this is supposed to be before the fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Do you think when you play Brimoz from now on, or when you attack with him, you can go, hey, this guy's coming in right, meow.
Oh, yes, no.
You definitely can.
No, I love that movie, but no.
Oh, we can't run the kitty cat game?
No, you
can't. No, chicken fucker, we can't.
Damn it.
Have a good one, and go fuck yourself.